Our first reading comes from Job 28, verses 12 through 28. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Mortals do not know the way to it, and it is not found in the land of the living. The deep says, "It is not in me," and the sea says, "It is not with me." It cannot be gotten for gold, and silver cannot be weighed out as its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Gold and glass cannot equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of crystal. The price of wisdom is above pearls. The chrysolite of Ethiopia cannot compare with it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. Where then does wisdom come from, and where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living, and concealed from the birds of the air. Abaddon and Death say, "We have heard a rumor of it with our ears." God understands the way to it, and God knows its place. For God looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When God gave to the wind its weight, and apportioned out the waters by measure, when God made a decree for the rain and a way for the thunderbolt, then God saw it and declared it. God established it and searched it out. And God said to humankind, "Truly, the fear of God, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." Reading now from Proverbs chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. God taught me and said to me, "Let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever else you get insight."
I haven't got a brain, only straw. How can you talk if you haven't got a brain? I don't know. But some people without brains do an awful lot of talking, don't they? Yes, I guess you're right. Touché, Scarecrow. Touché. Dorothy, who only just landed herself in this wonderfully weird world of Oz, having mowed down the Wicked Witch of the East in the middle of Munchkin City, has quickly discovered that she and her dog Toto are most definitely not in Kansas anymore. A brush with the Wicked Witch of the West, a brand new pair of ruby red slippers, well, new to her, beautiful Glinda the Good, and a winding yellow brick road, and Dorothy was on her way directly to the Wizard of Oz. "Follow the yellow brick road," she echoed the Munchkin's high-pitched advice. "Follow the yellow brick road," until there was a fork in the road. "Well, now which way do we go?" "Pardon me, that's a very nice way." "Who said that?" exclaimed the startled girl. Meanwhile, her dog barked in the direction of the cornfields and a raggedy scarecrow. "Don't be silly, Toto. Scarecrows don't talk." "It's a pleasant way down that way, too," a voice suggested. She looked once again at the stuffed bag of hay. Wasn't he pointing the other direction? "Of course, people do go both ways." And that's how she met her first real friend in Oz. He couldn't make up his mind because he didn't have one. An unfathomable concept for Dorothy, until he pulled out that zinger. "Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking." That's pretty witty for a guy whose head was filled with nothing but stuffing. And boy, is it true today, more than ever, don't you think? The scarecrow had dreams of having a brain, and with it, the ability to think, to reason, and to figure out how to help people. "I'd unravel every riddle for every individual in trouble or in pain." He knows that having a brain itself only matters if you use it as a means to do good, wise words, if you ask me. He's more self-aware than a lot of people I know. He doesn't take for granted what an incredible gift the mind is. No, in fact, he cherishes it. He longs for such a gift. He knows that having a brain, making decisions, thoughtfully analyzing whether to go this direction or that matters. It matters a lot. We know this. It's why one of our favorite church slogans, if you will, is don't check your brain at the door. Right, Fairview? Now, I dare say that's what some people of faith want to do. I get why. Actually, I do. I don't really want to think anymore. I'd rather just turn off my brain and stop having to process everything that is going on in the world because it's too much to handle. It'd be just fine by me if we could just stop in the narthex as if we're in some cold, snowy, or rainy place and peel off a jacket, boots, and brain and leave them in a closet somewhere back there. It'd be a whole lot easier to just put a stop to all of that thinking. That's what I was praying for the other night when I got a bout of insomnia. I couldn't turn it off. Maybe you feel the same way. So yeah, would I like to go to a church and get an hour to just push pause and forget, to stop thinking, to let someone else do it all for me? Sure, I might like that. I think that's why some of those types of churches are so appealing. It's why they like calling Jesus the shepherd, so they can be sheep and blindly follow where they are led without having to think for themselves. Life is painless for the brainless. Life is fraughtless for the thoughtless. Better to let Jesus do all the work and simply dance through life without a care in the world. But the truth is, life is hard. And we're called to a challenging faith that demands that we actually think about what's going on in our lives, with one another, and in our world. We don't get that luxury to just plug our ears and shut our eyes, to subscribe to a blind faith. There's no hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. It's just not how it works. And it would be great if it were. And I know that the truth is we are all suffering from compassion fatigue right now. We just can't bear to hear one more piece of bad news. Cindy asked me on Thursday if she needed to keep the slot open for a pastoral reflection. I told her no, and I quote myself, "Thankfully, nothing terrible has happened this week." I texted her 3 hours later with the words, "I spoke too soon." How I wish I could have unheard the news of Nice or Turkey or Rod's recent bringing of bad news from this morning. I'd like to turn my brain off. I know probably all of us would right about now. But our faith challenges us to think about what's happening in this world and to really wrestle with how we can be a part of the answers. And so that's perhaps the one thing I desire most, wisdom. How do we get it? And then how do we help others find it as well? Wisdom. Our scripture tells us that it is more valuable than all the riches in the world. Last week at camp, after the high school kids and I had gathered in a circle and I shared with them the awful news of what happened with the killing of Alton Sterling and Philando Castile, followed by the tragically terrible shootings of police officers at what was a peaceful gathering, the kids chose the song, "One Tin Soldier." Do you know it? They sang it at their Vesper service that evening. It's a song that speaks of a wisdom that could have led to peace and an ignorance that instead led to greedy murder. Wisdom. It can lead us to peace. The wise ones know that peace is the answer, that it is the treasure to be cherished. Like love, it is the ultimate gift. And it's wisdom that helps us to know the difference between earthly treasures, that power that we all seem to covet, and the divine treasures, like peace and love. In the prayer that gives power to so many who struggle, it is wisdom that ultimately helps us to know how to move forward, either in serenity, to accept what is, or power to make a change. I love that prayer by Reinhold Niebuhr, said it so many times. God, grant me the serenity to accept what I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Wisdom. It's what made Solomon a powerful king, more valuable than all the wealth of the land or the strongest, most powerful of armies. Solomon knew its value, and thus he was blessed with it. He had wisdom, and with it actually came power, wealth, a peaceable kingdom. He sat at wisdom's feet, suckled at the breast of understanding, and drank in her power, guided by her whisper and goaded by her call. The scarecrow doesn't want simply the means to make his mouth move. He's got that, though he doesn't have the gray matter to understand why. But he seeks what Solomon sought, wisdom, the most valued treasure in all of God's creation. And the mere notion that he desires of it leads me to believe that he probably already has at least a little bit. After all, it's a fool that wants something else. Power, money, good looks, longevity, virility, popularity, you name it. But knowledge, that's the real power. The wise ones know that knowledge is the key that unlocks everything. It's why those early Christian Gnostics believed that to gain wisdom was to attain salvation. Wisdom was salvation for the Gnostics. They didn't believe in blood atonement or sacrificial lambs. They believed that Jesus was the way to wisdom. Thus, the salvation that would come would be knowledge, a true knowledge of our soul's identity and our purpose. And in this knowledge, salvation from this world of darkness would lead us into the light. Enlightenment. So the scarecrow is not so dumb, after all. His greatest desire to be thoughtful, wise, discerning, reflective, mindful, all of this reflects the internal wisdom he seems to already have. When Dorothy explains that she's heading to the Emerald City in hopes of that wonderful Wizard of Oz will know how to get her home, the scarecrow wonders if he might also be able to locate him a brain. We can't blame him for hoping the wizard might have this kind of knowledge. After all, humans this side of the rainbow have been wondering the origin of wisdom since nearly the beginning of time. But where shall wisdom be found? This morning, scripture asks. And where is the place of understanding? Mortals do not know the way to it, and it is not found in the land of the living. Where then does wisdom come from? And where is this place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the air. I hope I'm not going to ruin it for you, but even if you didn't join us for yesterday's Saturday matinee, you likely know what happens. Spoiler alert. Dorothy, the scarecrow, and a couple of other sojourners followed that yellow brick road all the way to Emerald City. They got all dolled up when they got there, and they met the Wizard of Oz. Of course, there was more to him, or less, depending on your point of view. Not just a booming voice and a smoke machine. The wizard wasn't a brain surgeon. He didn't have magic either. But we're going to talk more about him in a couple of weeks. He couldn't actually deliver on the brain, but he did bestow a degree. And upon receiving it, the scarecrow promptly recited the formula for an isosceles triangle and then rejoiced. I've got a brain! How did that happen? Did the wizard actually do something magical? Was he a mortal unlike any other? The scripture says God understands the way to it. And God knows its place. Perhaps it was there all along. And it took this journey to help him realize that he had it. Perhaps this trip down the yellow brick road went beyond the brick road, deeper than we or he or they had imagined. Could it be that in their journeying, God was at work? God understands the way. God knows its place. In the very process of seeking out the wizard, helping his new and dear friend Dorothy, and the others along the way, the Scarecrow was destined to discover that the very thing that he had been searching for, longing for, praying for, was right there inside of him. No, he couldn't pull it out of the straw. It was deeper than the physical stuffings beneath his cap. But deep. Deep in that place where deep knows deep. God is. And where God is, so too is wisdom. Amen.